Tonight, Pastor wanted us to continue the study on when you just can't get over it. When you just can't get over it. All right, and we're going to be looking at lesson number 6, and it's going to be banishing bitterness. The part that the chapter we're going to be going over tonight. Banishing bitterness. Banishing bitterness. Do you ever find yourself becoming bitter? And I think that's something that we can all say that at some point in our lives we've all had a problem with. We've all struggled with that in some way, shape, or form, some worse than others. But we've all been bitter at times. And we can get bitter over the craziest things. And I don't want to belittle bitterness, because I know there's some people in this room, there's people I'm sure that will be listening to this, who have faced some serious challenges, who have faced some serious battles in their lives. And from a human point of view, you would think that they have every right to become bitter because of some of the things that they've been through. But we can become bitter over the craziest things. I remember one time, and it only happened one time, honey, that I got bitter at Noel. And I forget even what it was about. But it became so deep-rooted, and it happened in a really short period of time, but it came so deep, became so deep-rooted that I didn't even want to be around her. I didn't want to be in the same room with her. I didn't want to be in the same state, in the same country as she was. It was a mess. But about 2 hours later, the weird thing is I couldn't remember why I was bitter. I just knew that I was bitter, and I knew there had to be a reason. And so bitterness is kind of a strange thing. Once it takes hold in our lives, don't look at me all high and mighty out there either. I know you guys have been in the same boat, as I have. But bitterness can, once it takes root in our lives, it can become a terrible thing, as we'll see as we go through our lesson here. But grab your study sheet there, and we're going to be looking at banishing bitterness, and we're going to look specifically at Hebrews chapter number 12. We're going to look at verses 15 through 17 to start out with. Let's read those verses. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 15, it says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." You know, when we think about roots, when we think about trees, when we're out looking in a forest, the roots of a tree is something that we really don't notice. But you know, when we're coming out of winter and coming into spring, that's the first thing that becomes alive in that tree is that root. And what happens is it sends out millions of these little tiny fibers that start absorbing nutrients and start absorbing water. But when we think of roots, we don't necessarily instantly think of bitterness. But the passage here that we just read in Hebrews, one of the most famous passages in the Bible on the subject of bitterness, directly compares the two. Number one, the root of bitterness. The root of bitterness there, number one. The phrase "root of bitterness" is not just a creative analogy that God came up with. He specifically made the comparison because he knows the characteristics that a root has will help us to understand the danger and the bitterness or the danger that bitterness poses in our lives. And in nature, again, we can't typically see roots. We can't typically see what's going on underneath the surface there. And we're the same way as humans. You know, we like to hide what's going on underneath our surface, underneath our canopy of trees. We like to cover it up. We like to say stuff like, "I'm upset," you know, when we're bitter. We like to say, "I'm having a hard time. I'm having a bad day. I'm tired." We like to say all those things. But if we truthfully said what we were really thinking, we would say that, you know, "I'm bitter. I don't know how to face it. I don't know how to deal with this bitterness that's coming up into my lives. I don't know how to get rid of that feeling of bitterness." So bitterness is tough to admit when we're going through it. It's tough to admit that we're having problems with it. For two reasons, generally. One, we don't want to face the cause of the bitterness. We don't want to We don't want to admit why we're bitter, and we don't want to have to deal with it. Number two is along the same lines there is we don't want to do the hard work of getting rid of that bitterness. Bitterness is hard to get rid of. Once it becomes ingrained in our lives and once that root of bitterness grows, it's a difficult thing to get rid of. Now, in the Scripture, the Bible says a lot about roots, some good and some bad. But generally in the Bible, when it talks about it, the root or our root, it talks about, or it's explaining what is in our heart, what we really are, what our character is like. That is what the Bible talks about when it says, when it talks about roots. And that can be good or bad. We'll read in Proverbs chapter number 12. You'll have it in your hand out there. Proverbs chapter number 12, verse number 3. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. These are all good illustration of roots. Proverbs 12:12. The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. Isaiah 37:31. And the remnant that is escaped out of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Psalm chapter 1, verse number 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So those are all good illustrations of what the Bible has to say about roots. But it also refers to roots in a negative light. Deuteronomy chapter number 29, verse number 18. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be any among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. Matthew chapter number 3, verse number 10. And now also the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse number 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And the point is, when we're talking about roots, what begins small, what begins as a little minute fiber, as a little minute hair, will eventually grow and expand into something very large. All right, you think of the redwood forest out in California. Those things are huge, but they started from just a little bitty root. Springing. That's what bitterness can do in our lives. It can grow into a massive plant. It can grow into a really big problem. The longer we allow bitterness to flourish, the harder time that we're going to have dealing with it. Now, part of my responsibilities at work is I manage several landscaping crews. And I pulled up to a job site. It's been a couple of months back. And inside of this beautifully landscaped area, I noticed there was a tree or there was a weed that was coming up inside of a bush. So I called the guy who led that crew, and I told him, I said, you know, you need to take care of that. Go over there and pull that weed out. And he looked at me kind of funny, and he said, I can't. So I asked him, I said, why not? It's just a little weed. Go pull it. He said, well, what I've been doing for the last 3 or 4 years was every time that thing pops up, I'll just cut the head off of it, cut the top off of it. And sure enough, I went over there, and the trunk of that weed was about yay big around. And there was no, both of us got on that thing. There was no way we were going to pull that thing out. And that's the way that bitterness is. Once it gets started, you know, a lot of times we like to just kind of cut the tops off of our problems and deal with them later. And that's what this crew leader had done, and it had become a huge problem. Now, we had to take the bush out so that we could get to it and dig that tree out of the way. But that's what bitterness will do to us. Bitterness, the roots are very hardy. They grow quickly, and they're hard to remove. And our text verse here also tells us that bitterness can bring defilement. Bitterness can bring defilement. When we aren't responding to hurtful situations that come into our lives with the grace of God, bitterness defiles us in two ways. Letter A, bitterness troubles us. Bitterness troubles us. Notice that word us there. Doesn't typically trouble the person that has wronged us. When we're bitter, it troubles us more than it troubles them. Have you ever noticed that? You know that when you're bitter, you suffer more than the person that caused that bitterness. You suffer more than them. The illustration that I gave of me being bitter at Noelle, she was walking around the house just fine. she didn't have a care in the world. But I was over there with my lip poked out, and she'd come by every now and then and say, "What's wrong with you?" But she was fine. I was the one that was being troubled. So bitterness troubles us. When bitterness starts to creep in, we have to realize a couple of things. One is that we're not going to change that person that causes that bitterness or that has caused that bitterness toward us. We're not going to change them. There's nothing that we can do about what they do, how they react. There's nothing that we can do, but we can choose to respond correctly ourselves. We can choose how we respond. And an unforgiving and unloving response will always kill our joy. It'll always get in there, and it'll always make you more miserable and me more miserable than it will the one that has offended us. So how do we avoid getting bitter in the first place? What are the steps that we need to take? Now, biblically, there are two responses that we can take. The first one is to choose not to take an offense. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse number 2, the Bible says, "With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another." Now, that word forbearing there means not to take action. All right, it means to kind of just let it go. We're not gonna get bitter. We're not going to try to seek revenge. That word forbearance said, or kind of gives the impression that we should not take action. Forbearing one another in love. We could also deal with it another way biblically, and that is by following the steps that are given to us in Matthew chapter number 18, where we seek reconciliation with the person. We lovingly confront them, and we explain to them, you know, what has happened. Matthew chapter 18, 15 and 16. "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." Now, in either case, or in both cases, whether we're forbearing, whether we're choosing to just let it go and going on with our lives, or we're going to confront or we're address them, in both instances, the Bible is clear that we're not to hang on to that bitterness. We're not to hang on to it. If you find that you're stewing over bitterness, if you're stewing over something that someone has done wrong to you, that's a clear indication that we haven't dealt with it biblically, that we haven't dealt with it in the right way. And if we don't deal with an offense, the root of bitterness in our lives troubles us. And it hurts, and it will hurt others as well, which leads us to B. Bitterness taints others. Bitterness taints others. It troubles us, but it taints others. The context of the passage here that we read earlier there in Hebrews speaks of Esau. And when you read Esau's story there in the book of Genesis, we see that his mom allowed bitterness to come into her life. And it negatively affected Esau, and we know that throughout history it has negatively affected a bunch of other people. When God promised Rebekah that he was going to give Jacob, her youngest son, the blessing, she kind of impatiently waited for it. But when God did not give that blessing, when she thought it should be given, she became angry and bitter, and then she kind of took matters into her own hands. And we all know the story there. It had disastrous results. Even to this day, we're still paying for that decision. Jacob became a deceiver. Esau became bitter because her bitterness defiled both of them. Her bitterness defiled both of them. And bitterness affects those usually that are closest to us, doesn't it? The people that are closest to us are the ones who usually suffer from that root of bitterness. Our family members, our close friends, church members can be affected by it. When we nurse an offense, thinking that by holding on to it, we're going to hurt the person who hurt us, we usually end up hurting ourselves and the ones that we love the most. Now, our text reveals the cause of bitterness when it states, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God." Now, when we hear that word grace, typically our minds go to saving grace. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith." That's typically where our minds go to when Christ forgave us. He gave us forgiveness instead of condemnation. But beyond saving grace, we know that the Bible often talks about that there is a living grace. All right, there is grace that God gives us as we go through life, a living grace. But there's also the grace that's talked about here. And Acts chapter 4, verse 33 was talking about the early church. And the Bible says great grace was upon them all. They were practicing this living grace that we're talking about here. They were showing to others what Christ had shown to them. They were showing them the grace that we have been shown through Christ. And that means that we give those who hurt us good instead of returning to them what they gave to us. And that's something negative. We treat others as Christ has treated us. But the heart of a Christian who doesn't show living grace to others is prime ground, is prime territory for this root of bitterness to grow. And Jesus told a parable to illustrate this in Matthew chapter number 18, where we see that a king had forgiven his servant of a great debt. The servant had a huge debt. The king wiped it out. But the servant turned around and would not forgive his fellow servant of the great debt. Matthew chapter 18, verse 32 through 35. Then his Lord, After that, he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had compassion on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother's trespasses, or his brother their trespasses. So when we look at this story, we're kind of tempted to question, how in the world could that servant have done that? That servant was just forgiven this huge debt. How could he, in turn, not forgive this other man this little debt? But you think about it, we do the same thing. We do the same thing to God so often. He has forgiven us so much. Think about some of the sins that you've committed in your life and I've committed in my life. God wiped them out. God said you're forgiven. But yet, we don't forgive each other. All right? We act just like that servant does, not forgiving our fellow brethren. Point number two, the result of bitterness. The results of bitterness. One of the shortest books of the Old Testament, which is the book of Ruth, we see a woman in there whose life exemplifies what it is or what the causes and effects of bitterness have upon our life. But we will see also that she finally gained victory over those. Now, if we think about Naomi and all that she went through, she lived through part of a famine. She moved to a foreign country. She watched her husband die. She watched her two sons die in an unfamiliar country. And those were all traumatic events. So those were some horrible things that she lived through. But as we saw earlier in the life of Joseph, and it's true also in the life of Naomi here, that the events themselves are not what causes bitterness, all right? What comes into our lives is not the thing that causes bitterness. It's how we react to it. Our reaction is what causes bitterness. Ruth, chapter number 1, verses number 1 and 2. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrahites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came to the country of Moab and continued there. So we see that the family here has moved out of where God had wanted them, out of the nation of Israel there. And they moved to a godless country that was full of idolatry, full of all kind of wickedness and problems. And that's what bitterness causes us to do. The first thing that bitterness will cause us to do is it'll cause us to leave the place that God wants us. It'll cause us to leave His will and go to a place where He doesn't want us to be. That's one thing that bitterness will do. But we also see that it'll affect us physically. Ruth, chapter number 1, verse number 19 through 21, we see that it affected the years of bitterness had so affected Naomi that when she finally went back home, people didn't even realize who she was. They couldn't tell exactly who that was. And reminded me of a lady that I saw here recently that I hadn't seen in a couple of years. I know she kind of struggled with some things that had gone on in her life. And it was amazing to see the bitterness, how it had taken control of her life and just changed her physically. It looked like she just aged 10 years over the last couple of years that I've not seen her. So bitterness will change us physically. Ruth chapter number 1, verse number 19 through 21. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass that when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" Now the name Naomi means pleasant. Mara means bitter. So notice that the way that bitterness affected Naomi. Letter A, dissatisfaction. Bitterness caused Naomi to have a lot of dissatisfaction. Naomi and her family had moved to Moab because they thought that that was the place that they needed to be. They thought that that would be a better place. Instead of the easy life that she was, I'm sure that she was hoping to get in the country of Moab, or the easier life, Naomi went through a lot of hardship. Naomi went through a lot of testing and trials. She lost her husband. She lost her sons. Ruth chapter number 1, verses 3 through 5. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left with her two sons and her husband. So why would God allow this to happen? Why would God allow us to happen? While we never really know the full purposes of God, we never really know exactly why God does what he does, we can see that in hindsight that God may have been chastening Naomi. He may have allowed all of this stuff to come into the life of Naomi so that she would turn back to him. We live in an unsettled time, an unsettled period in our country. I read a statistic recently that told that 20% of the United States of America move every year. 20% of the population a year moves. We're always looking for something better. We're always looking for the next best job or the next best house. We're always looking for something a little bit better. And there's nothing wrong with wanting better as long as it's not coming from a heart of bitterness or a heart of resentment. And I'm the world's worst. I'll just be honest with you. I am the world's worst. A couple of years ago, I had a truck that kept giving me trouble. It was time to get something else new. So I thought, you know, I'll just get a car. Get better gas mileage, be easier to drive. So I got that car, but guess what? I ain't happy. I want me another truck. And that's the way that we are. We always want something different. We always want something better. We keep looking for the perfect place. You know, we keep looking for the perfect house, the perfect job. But we often find that that doesn't exist. Dissatisfaction actually is a symptom of our bitterness. And that's the way it was here in the life of Naomi. So dissatisfaction. Colossians 3:19, Paul is talking to his husband. He says, "Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them." If we focus only on our problems, only on the problems in our relationships, whether it be with our wives or with friends or whomever, bitterness will lead us to unhappiness, and bitterness will lead us to try to find something better. And that it can lead to all kind of dangerous results. All right, so letter A was dissatisfaction. Letter B, the result of bitterness is selfishness. The result of bitterness is selfishness. Now, at this point in Naomi's life, she was ruled by bitterness. She was just controlled by it. And it made her an extremely selfish woman. Now think about her daughters-in-law. We all know the story of what happened there. They wanted to return to Bethlehem with her. They were willing to give up everything that they had in Moab to follow Naomi back to Bethlehem. So scripture reference says that your God will be my God. They, you know, it has, kind of gives us the impression that they wanted to know more about Naomi's God. But Naomi was so selfish that she wanted to leave them behind. She had made all these plans to leave and had it in her plans that she was just going to leave them behind. Ruth chapter number 1, verses number 8 and 9. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to her mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. Now we know that on the way out of town, Naomi kind of had a change of heart. She allowed Ruth to come and go with her on the trip to Bethlehem. But we as believers, we can allow bitterness to so affect our lives that it affects all of our relationships with other people, with other Christians. It can affect our relationship with God. And instead of drawing people to Christ, instead of wanting people to come to know Christ and to know His goodness and to know His grace, we push them away when we become bitter. Who likes to be around a bitter person? I don't think there's a person in here who likes to be around someone that's bitter. As a matter of fact, we try to run the other way when we see a bitter person coming. And that's what we can do when we become bitter. We're no longer sharing the gospel. We're no longer doing the things that we need to do that the Bible tells us to do because we're so bitter. Number C, or letter C. I knew I was going to say number somewhere along the way. Letter number C, here I go again. Accusations. C, accusations. Naomi went a step beyond just pushing others away. She accused God of an injustice. She accused God of injustice in her life. She said that the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. And based upon the painful experiences that she had back in the country of Moab, she accused God. Instead of considering that maybe God had a bigger plan, maybe God had a greater purpose in what He was doing in her life, instead of actually thinking about God had a purpose behind everything that was happening to her, she accused God of dealing bitterly with her. And sometimes it's hard for us to see when we're going through some painful times, it's hard for us to see that God is working in our lives. We struggle a lot of times to see some positives. We struggle sometimes to see the good things that God could be doing. But we have to remember that God is always good. God is always good to us. And our job is not necessarily to understand why we're going through these things, but it's to trust. Our job is to trust and just simply obey in simple faith. James chapter number 1, verse number 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. D, letter D, misrepresentation. Misrepresentation. Naomi said in Ruth, chapter number 1, verse number 21, I went out full and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Misperception. What did I say? Misrepresentation. Change that. Have you got a pencil? Misperception. Ruth said, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call you Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? Misperception. Do you see the contradiction in what she just said, and what Naomi just said there? Naomi left Bethlehem. Why? Because of the famine. She didn't leave full. She left because there was a famine, and she had forgotten that everything, the reason that she had left Bethlehem, the reason that she struggled so much, was because that she failed to trust in God. She had forgotten all about those things. And when we're struggling with bitterness, a lot of times it's difficult for us to remember the past. Bitter people can find it difficult to see blessings. Bitter people find it very difficult to see blessings that God has given them. We're so consumed with how we're being treated or how unfairly life is going for us that we cannot see the good. Bitterness has a tragic end. It brings devastating effects into our lives. But thankfully, what we'll see in the life of Naomi here is that she finally dealt with this root of bitterness. Point number three, the remedy for bitterness. The remedy for bitterness. Naomi's victory over bitterness wasn't instantaneous, all right? It was something that she dealt with for a very long time in her life. But she did, we see here, take the first step out of the country of Moab. And the first step that we take when we're trying to get out of this habit or out of this life of bitterness is we have to repent. Letter A, repent. If we want to overcome bitterness like Naomi, we first have to have a change of heart, a change of mind. Naomi did this when she decided to return to Bethlehem. At this point, now she hadn't overcome her bitterness, but she had taken that step. She had moved in that direction, and that's what we have to do. She realized that Moab was not the place for her. She realized that Moab was not the place that God wanted her to be, and she took the first step in resolving her problem and heading back toward Bethlehem. Luke, chapter number 15, verse number 17. Luke 15:17. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?" Now, in this portion of scripture here, Jesus had given us the parable of the prodigal son. And we see here that the prodigal son, just like Naomi did, he had to turn. He had to make a choice to turn back and go back to his father's house. Now, when he left, we know the prodigal son, I'm sure, hated living with his dad. I don't know what kind of situation he was in, but he absolutely hated being there. So he up and leaves, but after a little while of living in the pig pen and wallowing in that mire and the trouble that he was going through, he realized that what he had given up wasn't so bad. The place that he had left is when he left his father's home wasn't too bad. Luke chapter number 15, verses number 18 and 19. "I will arise and go to my father. I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thine hired servants." Now, when we're in a place that God does not want us to be, the first step to defeating bitterness is to decide that we are going to return. It's a mental thing. We have to make the decision. We have to mentally make that decision to go back where God wants us. B, trust God. Trust God. Now, maybe what was done to you that caused your bitterness, or maybe what was done to me that has caused my bitterness, had nothing to do with any choices that we make. And a lot of times in life, that's the way it is. A lot of things happen to us or can happen to us that were out of our control. This is where we need to pick up this process of getting out of the control of bitterness. And that is we simply have to trust God. We must believe that God has a greater plan, that God has a greater plan, a larger vision of what than what we can see. We have to trust in Him. God cares about us. God cares about us specifically. He loves each and every one of us, and He has a plan. And He has a plan to make everything come out good. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. The choice is difficult when we're caught in the root in the grip of bitterness, because as you remember from Naomi's testimony, bitterness had kind of distorted the way that she viewed things, or the way that she remembered things. But we have to make an effort to trust God's word. We have to make an effort to rely on Him and trust in Him to overcome bitterness. C, forgive. The remedy for bitterness is first repent, then trust, and then forgive. In Ephesians chapter number 4, verses 31 and 32, God instructs us to put away bitterness from our lives, but He also calls us to forgive. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And notice this phrase here, what I want to kind of look at for just a second. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And we'll read that last verse again. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. God not only wants us to forgive, He wants us to forgive the way that He forgave us. And think about that for a minute. Think about the way that God has forgiven us. God forgave us immediately. He forgave us immediately. And when we're practicing this biblical forgiveness, we're not going to hang on to whatever it is that caused that bitterness, whatever it is that caused that little root of bitterness to spring up. We're not going to dwell on it. We're going to forgive, and it's going to be immediate. We're going to seek that peace. We're going to seek that restoration. Even if the offender doesn't, it's on us to do the right thing. We're going to seek that peace immediately. Number two, it's complete. And this is not in your notes, but the way that God forgave us was he forgave us completely. He didn't pick and choose what sin that He was going to forgive us of, did He? He forgave us completely. The third way that God forgives us is He forgives us permanently. He never remembers our sin again. Hebrews 10:17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And true forgiveness means that the matter is settled. When we finally forgive somebody, when we finally say that we're not going to allow this bitterness to take control of our lives, we don't remember it anymore. And I know humanly that's kind of hard to do, but we choose not to dwell on that grievance anymore. We don't hold a grudge. We give up our claim to even choose to allow God to handle it. Romans 12:19-21, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt reap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, God can work all things for good in our lives. And remember the story of Joseph there. We looked at it earlier. God used the wrongs of Potiphar's wife. He used the wrongs of all of his brothers. Remember the story? They had thrown him into the pit, sold him off. God used all of those things to eventually bring Joseph to a place where he was second in command. And because he responded correctly to an offense, he was unimaginably blessed. And because of that, he was able to bless many others. And his response kind of gives us some insight into what our response should be toward other people when they do offend us. Genesis chapter number 50, verse number 20. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Remember, it's our response to offenses that make the difference. It's how we respond to these offenses. It's not the offense itself that causes bitterness. It's how we respond to it. D, letter D. Refocus on Christ. All right, there's a final step in overcoming our bitterness that we see in the life of Naomi. That is to refocus on Christ. The book of Ruth, we know, is really a story of redemption. When Naomi returned to Bethlehem, it was a time of the barley harvest. And as was the custom, the poor people got to go to the edges of the fields and glean from what had fallen off. And that's what had happened here when Ruth went to those fields. She actually chose, through God's sovereign plan, the field of Boaz, a distant relative of Naomi. Ruth chapter number 2, verse number 19 and 20. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Now suddenly, Naomi's focus was taken off of everything that had happened in the past. Her focus now is on Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. We find that Naomi herself, later in the book, she is finally coming out of this cycle of bitterness. Ruth chapter 4, verse number 16. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. So we see that she's finally softening up. She's finally overcoming this thing of bitter, this cycle of bitterness that she had gotten into. And with the Lord's help, she had finally conquered it. Now, in conclusion, when we're struggling with bitterness, it's difficult for us to see that God has a purpose behind it. It's difficult to see that God can take the bad things in our lives, all the things that we see as negatives, that we see as bad things. God can take those and turn them from something tragic into something beautiful. And an interesting end to the story of Naomi is through her grandson, Obed. Through his line, there was another kinsman redeemer that was born some centuries later. And we know his name was Jesus Christ. And it's through him, it's through Christ that we experience forgiveness in our lives. And by his grace, through him, through his example to us, we're able to show others forgiveness as well. So if you're struggling with bitterness, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Choose to give grace to others and choose to trust his word and know and understand that God always works everything for your good and his glory. All right, well, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your blessings. God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the time that we've been able to spend looking at the life of Naomi. And Lord, we do pray that you would help us when we're faced with the temptation to be bitter. God, we pray that you'd help us to overcome those temptations. Lord, that we may be better servants of yours. And we pray your blessings upon the remainder of this service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.